Thanks for being a contributing member of public radio in your community. Our next guest is practically synonymous with the women's movement in America. Gloria Steinem co-founded Ms. Magazine and has spent decades advocating for the rights of women in the United States and around the world. This much activism requires some serious travel, which means that Ms. Steinem has spent even more time on the road than I have. We asked her to join us to talk about her lifetime of travel and her latest book, My Life on the Road. It was a delight to swap travel tales with Gloria. Here's a bit from when she last joined us on Travel with Rick Steves.
Thank you for inviting me to be part of what is the first travel show I've been on. And, you know, how did that happen? What could be more appropriate?
Well, it's great. And reading your book, it is clear you are an enthusiast, not just about travel, but about travel as a way to broaden our perspective and help us engage in the world. And you write about the definition of adventurer and adventurous. Tell us about that.
Adventurer, I think we know as the daring, attractive occupation, exploring. Adventurous, if you look in the dictionary, you will find it's someone who takes advantage of other people for money and position. Mm. So even in the words, there is a problem.
So the road really is masculine turf unless people speak up and open it up to the other half of the world, isn't it?
Yes, it has been, which is ironic because from DNA studies, we understand that women have been more likely to travel than men, but mainly because of cultures that were patrilocal. So women traveled to marry into other cultures. Otherwise, the road is viewed as too dangerous for women often.
It must have been so interesting for you to look back on over five decades of hard work and lots of travel. You wrote that for the first decades, your longest stretch at home was 8 days.
My longest consecutive stretch at home was 8 days, and that was a shock even to me.
You wrote that the road is the place you feel most at home. How can that be?
Well, I had not planned to start this book with a chapter about my father, but once I sat down to write it, it was the first thing I found coming up. Because as a child, I did grow up until the age of 10 or so, most of the time in a house trailer. Hmm. My father was a gypsy in his spirit. He had a little summer resort in southern Michigan. But when it got cold, he immediately put us all, you know, my sister, my mother, the dog, and me, into a house trailer. And we started to wend our way, working our way by selling antiques and jewelry and so on along the way to Florida or California in warm weather. So that meant that I actually lived most of the time in my early childhood in a house trailer.
I understand from your book that, you know, he'd leave home without enough money to get back home and he would just say, well, let's see what'll happen.
Yes. Yeah. No, he really taught me to live with uncertainty, which is a good thing for a freelance writer to know.
Yeah.
And he always used to say, if I don't know what will happen tomorrow, it could be wonderful. So he affirmatively didn't want to know what was going to happen.
And Gloria, in your book, you make it pretty clear that one purpose of the book is to tempt us to explore the United States. You don't need to travel internationally to enjoy the value of travel. How so? Why is that an interest of yours?
Well, I began to realize that we still had something of a national inferiority complex, or at least some groups in this country do, because whenever I said, you know, I was going to India or I was going to South Africa, people would say, oh, how exciting. Mm-hmm. And if I said I was traveling in this country, they would say, oh, that must be so tiring. There was very little sense of excitement about it.
Right.
So, you know, this book, although it starts in India because that was such an education for me, is otherwise about traveling in this country. And I hope that it tempts people to do it. I wish that every high school student could spend 6 months on the road, and every political candidate had to spend a couple of years on the road as a requirement of running.
One thing I picked up in your book, Gloria, was that the road teaches you how to live in the present.
You know, for years, my friends would try to persuade me to meditate, and I 100% agree that meditation is beneficial in so many ways. I took two courses in how to meditate, but I just never incorporated it into my life. And finally, I decided that actually travel is my form of meditation because it does, like meditation, force you to live in 100% in the present.
He wrote, it's right up there with life-threatening emergencies and truly mutual sex as a way of being fully alive in the present.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
That
you
line.
Know, so what better invitation to travel could you have?
That's writer and activist Gloria Steinem on the pleasures and lessons of life on the road. When you listen to Travel with Rick Steves, it's my hope that we inspire you to hit the road, or at least inspire you to learn more about the fascinating people and places that make our world so interesting to explore. As you know, these days there are people who aren't particularly interested in learning about other cultures. Television and radio are full of politicians and pundits who'd rather promote simple stereotypes over thoughtful analysis. Rather than helping us to get to know the people of other lands and other religions, they encourage us to fear them. Well, that's why we're on the air. Each week on Travel with Rick Steves, we aim to provide perspectives that dispel myths and misinformation. And we try to give you the widest possible view of our world by getting to know people from other countries and by listening to travelers who return with interesting stories to share. That's what public radio does best. And that's why I'm so proud to be a part of your public radio station. Like you, I rely on public radio to stay informed, not just entertained or distracted. And I want my neighbors to be well informed, too. After all, a less educated citizenry is a dangerous citizenry. We all benefit when our whole community has access to this unique and thoughtful programming. Not everyone who listens can pitch in. I understand that. But if you're able to help out, I'm asking you to do your part right now. And I guarantee that your financial contribution will be smartly put to work to help keep public radio strong right here in your community all year long. Please, take a moment right now and do what you can to support your station. Thank you.